Well, here's another part now that came along, because when they said they could attend the University of Oklahoma, but we'd provide equal school.
After admission.
Yeah. Then 6 black students applied for undergraduate enrollment, so they began to test in 6 different programs.
Well, that didn't just happen. Roscoe, again, he's the architect behind the deal. And when they made the decision to set up the Lakes Law School, Roscoe told Mom, just hang in there. If they think they can set up that school overnight, we'll see what happens when they have to build a number of schools tonight. So Roscoe got the other 6 people and went to apply. There was Roscoe's strategy to make that happen. And the idea of thinking was that if you think you can build one school overnight, let's see you try to build a medical school and a graduate school and all these other schools.
So then they had a problem. Dr. Cross called Lloyd Noble, who was president of the Board of Regents, and they had a meeting, and no one knew what to do. So we had Fisher versus Hearst, Judge Hearst, and the decision went against Lois.
But that was the court case which probably had the biggest impact, second next to the U.S. Supreme Court. That was the case that Mama talked about the most, because that was when she saw all of the top lawyers and deans of School of Law throughout the university come in and speak in support of her case, which was that there's no way that the Langston School of Law can be considered equal to the University of Oklahoma. It brought Thurgood back to town. It brought Robert Meng to Oklahoma. The deans of all these other law schools came, and that was the one that really shocked her when they ruled against her on that one, because she could not see how in the world, after listening to those arguments, that they could consider Langston University School of Law equal to the University of Oklahoma School of Law.
And so those who are listening, let me remind you again that we are in the home where Ada Lois Sipuel Fisher lived.
Mm-hmm.
And your dog is barking at the postman who just came up to your house. And that's why she went into that. So that's all part of the deal of going here. So anyway, they had to start at the district level all over again. And this time would have to prove that the school crowded overnight into a few spare rooms at the Capitol, a school with one student, was less than the equal to well-established law school chosen by 552 white students in Norman. And as you've already alluded, Thurgood Marshall led this group of black lawyers on this case. But to show you how bright they were, and these attorneys, they still could not eat in Norman.
Right. Mom talked about that an awful lot. That was one of her favorite memories.
What did she say? How did they eat? What did they do?
I don't know if that's in the research or not, but at one point while Thurgood was cross-examining somebody on the stand, Mom's legal team that was doing such a good job of cross-examining somebody, they were just ripping him to shreds. And finally, one of the lawyers said, "Turn him loose, Thurgood."
Yeah, let him go.
Yeah, let him go.
We've seen this suffering enough.
But then they said that, okay, now, where are we going to eat? And they realized at that point that, you know, you got all of these top lawyers around and nowhere in Norman can they eat. So they rounded up some change and they had a peanut machine outside. They had to buy peanuts for their lunch and soda pop. And Mom says that Thurgood told her, he said, "Now, girlie, I'm going to argue this case, but from now on, you're in charge of bologna sandwiches."
But the next day, ladies of the church came along with sandwiches.
Yeah.
And of course, these learned men couldn't stay in any hotels, and so they stayed in private homes.
Yeah. And you know, you can go around Oklahoma City, any function in Oklahoma City that has people who are old enough to live during that time, and you'd be surprised how many people have connections with this case, because Thurgood and his team and Robert Meng and other lawyers that were part of that stayed with them from time to time as they came to town. I get approached all the time from my elders talking about Thurgood was here, he stayed over here with us, so he came to our house, and Robert Meng came to our house, and you'd be just amazed, you know, how often that happens.
Yeah. I mean. But after all that was said and done, Judge Hinshaw ruled that the Langston facility was substantially equal to the University of Oklahoma Law School.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah. And again, he said, "Gurley, we're just building a record," because he knew that he wouldn't get justice in Oklahoma. He knew that.
I'm reading from your mother's book, just a paragraph here, and it shows her feistiness. "Those men and this woman were neither extremists, agitators, nor troublemakers. They were attorneys, and I wanted to become one. Mm-hmm. We all knew that the time for patience was past. We represented a race that had been in this country since 1619. before the Mayflower had dumped the Pilgrims on Plymouth Rock. Our patience and goodwill had earned us chains as slaves, scars as freedmen, and daily insults as second-class citizens.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that's powerful stuff that she wrote. So, I think you talked about a bus. She rode on a bus with her friend and had to stand in the aisle.